beyondradio.com, Tiernasau from Ireland, scottishsovereignsontheland.ning.com. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to Ever Beyond. It is the 27th of September 2015. Wow. All the way through September. You know, it's like, whew, that was 2015. I don't know what's happening. We seem to be moving forward in time and space very rapidly indeed. So, to that end, I have a very interesting guest. I came across her father more than 20 years ago. He was making these pyramids and these things, nuclear receptors. And turns out that, you know, when he appeared on Jesse Ventura, that was the last we saw of him. That is really very disturbing. So, a little moment, hand on heart with Fred. Dr. Fred Bell, indeed, grandson of Alexander Graham Bell, and probably cousin of Art. We'll find out about that. Here we are. We are now in the next generation of Bells, and it's taken over, as many things have come over to the feminine. So now we have Megan Bell. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, JP. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice and warm, and I've just had a very spicy risotto that I made for dinner. So I'm incredibly, it's like almost on the edge of perspiration. So
I was going to say, nice and warm in Scotland. You're in Scotland,
right? Yeah. Well, I'm nice and warm inside my cottage with a stove going and, you know, as I said, spicy food inside and a nice cup of British tea.
Hey, yeah, you know what? I miss that so much.
I was just going to say, do you miss Tetley? Should we send
you? You know what? I have Tetleys in my cupboard, but it just does not taste the same here. It really doesn't taste the same as English tea. No, it doesn't.
It's the water. It's the water, mainly.
It's the way my mum makes it, that's what it is.
And the love that goes into it.
Exactly. And of course, the curries in the UK, you can't get those out here, which is another thing I miss. So I'm pretty jealous of you right now. Actually.
Let me psychically send you some of this curry. It's just the most lovely thing. Oh, vegan and gluten-free. So... Because I'm discovering all these things, you know, like in the last, I used to think I could eat anything. And then in the last year, I've become allergic to anything that's got like yeast in it, you know, and I discovered this whole big story about yeast and its poisoning effects on people. And so I'm now kind of gluten free. I hardly eat any meat if it's like, you know, once a month, maybe when somebody brings some. And it, you know, I'm trying to get away from all like factory food.
Good for you. That's really amazing. And how different do you feel because you're not eating that food anymore?
Well, I don't need to say how different I feel because it's very apparent. I've lost, I've lost an entire belly. I used to have a very pot belly, and now it's just kind of. Just like a dad bod, as they call it, you know.
I did hear you actually telling Sean how skinny you were the other day on the show. when Sean had the cat incident with all the cats that escaped from his house. That was pretty funny.
That was funny.
I did hear you saying that.
And you know, whenever I see, Sean tells me about these stories, I always imagine him wearing shorts. doing this, you know, wearing, you know, sort of short pants and you know, like a surfer or something like that, which, you know, and you know, the idea of him climbing up into the window when Melissa locked him out, he's a whole kind of soap opera all by himself, you know.
Yes, he is. Sean is incredible. He's an amazing person, but he is entertaining. I love spending time with Sean. Yeah. Yeah, we're seeing him next month at the New Life Expo.
Excellent.
In New York, so I'm looking forward to that.
New York, uh-huh. So you're going up to there. So so let's just talk about, you know, when you go to an expo, right, and you've got this, well, can you describe what your stall looks like? You know, if somebody were to walk up to your store, first of all, what colours have you got? Are you draped? Is it, you know,
the tables are already dressed. So the show, the New Life show, will already dress up your tables. They put like a white skirting on there. But you can change that if you want to. But my booth, we actually post pictures. So our Facebook page, we, you know, have regular updates and everything on there. We'll be posting pictures of the show. My mum is actually going to be there this year. She's coming over from England, and she hasn't done one of these shows in 20 years. Longer than that, actually. So she's going to be working in the booth with me and muscle testing people. And also my stepmom, who was married to my father for 15 years, name is Frauke. She lives in Germany. She's also going to be coming in, and she ran Pyridyne for about 12 years. So it's going to be a really, really great show this year. I'm really excited. But the booth, it's pretty interesting looking, but there are some, I mean, if you've been to the New Life Expos, there's some really way out there stuff that you can kind of like, whoa, what is this? But our booth is nice and kind of tame. You have all the products on the table. You have a big, you know, the big banners, the colors are like the purples and the, I love color. Color is incredible, and what color does to people is on different levels, emotional and physical planes, is insane. And I love to have bright and bold colors. So, and then we have a big banner that has a lot of information about my father and the company. And then it has kind of stars and stuff in the background as well. And then we have this really nice black polystyrene head that features a pyramid. We have the books, we have all the nuclear receptors, and then this year we're going to be having some of my jewelry that I make, the Art by Megan Bell stuff, so I'm taking a lot of that jewelry as well, so it's pretty exciting.
So you got a black polystyrene head with one of the, which model is it? Is it the titanium gold plated?
We'll have all of them there, yeah. But the one that we'll have on show will just be the, it will be the steel based orgone pyridyne. So that's the one that we'll put on display that we use for demonstrations and stuff. The other ones are kind of wrapped in the packaging, although people can still put them on their head, and they do. I have one on my head right now, actually, as we speak. It is a titanium power dome silver. And a lot of people out there might think that putting a pyramid on your head sounds crazy. In fact, there's a guy in London who has been seen, and now he's been on the news, and there's tons of blogs written about him, this famous guy, because he rocks his pyramid in public. He gets on the tube, he walks around, he's in restaurants doing his work, and he has a nuclear receptor as well. And he is an incredible guy because not only is he really intelligent, but he does not let the opinions and the thoughts of others criticizing him stop him from being able to be successful and do what he wants and live his life the way he wants and be healthy, because he feels and sees the benefits and knows the benefits of what he's doing. Yet a lot of people want to be able to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But they can't because they're afraid of what people are going to say about them. This guy is amazing. And one of my friends messaged me on Facebook the other day. She's like, Megan, I just saw that guy. She's on the tube, London Underground, all the time. She said, I just walked past him. And he had a pyramid on his head. But yeah, the titanium, you know, people put it on even with the packaging on at the shows. And they're like, wow, I feel amazing. Like instantly you can feel it. As soon as you put it on your head, you can feel it. And the purer the metal, of course, the higher the vibratory level. I'm sure you know that. So there is a difference between the steel and the titanium. The titanium, you put it on your head, you almost feel like you're floating. I had had a headache all day today, and as soon as I put my pyramid on, my headache disappeared. So I'm now sat here headache free, very happy. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. You see, I used to walk up and down Glastonbury High Street wearing a pyramid on my head. I've still got the pyramid today. And a couple of years ago, I did a few shows for Robert Potter. And I believe he must be one of your customers or subcontractors, because he, as a gift for doing the production, he sent me a pyramid. And I thought, I know this design.
And, it's very interesting that you have just mentioned him. Please continue.
I have it here in my hand. It's a bronze with gold plating. Are they bronze or steel? Hang on, let me just check. I'll tell you if it's steel. Oh no, it's a steel based. Yes,
They're all steel based. Robert Potter used to work for Pyridyne.
Did he? All right.
Worked for Pyridyne a long time ago. When my father passed away, he ventured out on his own. And I'm sure you're familiar with what Robert is doing now. Mm-hmm. We've unfortunately encountered a lot of problems with this person, making a lot of false claims and using my father's technology and my father's work, standing behind that, which is amazing that he does that. But it's sad for us because he started trying to undercut us and take away the Pyridyne customers that were loyal to my father for many, many years. It's not that great, unfortunately, but you know, I don't worry about things like that because the universe takes care of everything.
So
you just let people go on doing their business and I don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. I see. So this may not be a genuine Pyridyne, but I recognize the construction of it. You know, having built pyramids all from the ground up, all through, you know, people say, you know, I never used trigonometry in my entire life when I learned it at school. I actually used trigonometry to build these bloody pyramids.
I
actually used everything that I learned in school. And that's, you actually need a school level understanding of geometry in order to build a pyramid. And if you actually, and here's a challenge for everybody, you know, build a pyramid, then tell me how easy it is, because it's not. It's you need to bring various disciplines together. You need to have your mind straight. You have to understand all about angles and all of that stuff. You have to have your emotions straight, because if you build one of these things and your emotions are off, it's going to come out all distorted because you're dealing with liquid metal. You know,
that too, and then active and passive because of the plating process. So the plating process that my father designed on the different pyramids actually have specific functions on them. And back when my father was still here, they were doing studies in school. This was like 15 years ago with the pyramids and the different ones, the different plating. We have like the copper flash orgone, and we do set layers of silver gold plating in flashes in a specific order to get certain results. So not only is it the angles that have to be, you know, 52 degree precise, that it's actually also for different functioning, the active and passive metals that are then placed on top of that. So,
all right. So you've got some layering going on. So you start off with the steel, okay? And that's like a steel welding rod type material, like comes on a big roll, and I can see this, like it's bent around into two V shapes, and then those V shapes are inserted into the square. But you know, once you've got this thing assembled, you've got various dippings or platings. Can you go through those levels, those different layers for me?
I can, but I can't tell you exactly the order in which we do it, because that's what makes Pyridyne so special as well. Uh-huh. And that was something that my father does talk about it actually in his books, but he doesn't tell you exactly the order and the amounts, etc. Mm. He would use, I believe, you would do flashes of the silver, flashes of the copper, flashes of nickel, and you would do different orders, and then you do it 3 to 6 times on different ones. So it's a process of back and forth. And we have, my father has, you know, they're all in California, all the same companies that we always use, that my father always used. They know exactly the order in which, and, you know, we have a very good relationship, luckily, with all of our vendors. So when my father passed away, and we wanted to continue his work, of course, they were very, very happy to continue, and they knew exactly what they were doing. And so it was...
So they all have the process and the secret recipes already set up in their process controllers, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's plated with... What do you say, copper and nickel and silver and gold?
Silver, and then the titanium gold uses a 24 carat gold.
Nice. And how many microns? More than 3?
I believe total it is over 3. I'm not sure exactly what, maybe 4.
Nice, because 3, you know, like, you know, you have 2 and it'll kind of almost rub off on your hand, but 3 is a nice layer. Sorry, we're getting a bit technical here, but we're talking about the plating on small head pyramids here, just in case anybody's lost. Basically, you make them out of steel or bronze, and then they're electroplated with various layers, and these layers have the effect of creating, like you say, an orgon layer, an orgon accumulator. And do you have is there a kind of crystal powder nano layer in there as well?
We do have a chrysalidome, the chrysalidome is a titanium base. We don't actually use bronze. And my father was working back with Patrick Flanagan when he first started out, and he was using plastic. My father would say to him, do not use plastic. Very, very important. So the actual base metal that you're using is really, really important to the function. I mean, really important to the function. But the process of the plating is very, very crucial to that functioning, and so is that base metal. But the chrysalidome is actually a diamond dusted piece, so it is it's titanium base, and then it has a thick layer of diamond dusting on it, and that intensifies the pyramid.
Wow. And you can sharpen your knife on it as well. Just kidding.
You probably could. Yeah.
This is aerospace industry level of plating here. It's not, you know, we're not talking about like a back street in the back of Bethnal Green. This is proper stuff. So you probably could, given that sort of level of
I know a lot of my dad's systems, actually. I think he created during his time in NASA, because the movie Moonraker, which is a James Bond movie, actually has one of my father's systems in that movie, featured in that movie. We have lots of pictures of it and stuff, again, on our website and on our Facebook page, which is really cool. So these systems, you know, they've been around for a very long time, and they're integrated into a lot of different things, and they're very well recognized around the world. So it was very important for us to make sure that if we were to continue on, we got everything exactly correct as it's supposed to be, you know, and that comes down to every last detail, including the plating. So,
excellent. So, okay, let's talk about systems, because I'm fascinated by. I'm fascinated by little Megan walking around Dad's workshop or the backyard, and he's got all these things that probably look like lunar module skeletons and electronic dinosaurs and all sorts of things. What was your experience growing up with all this stuff?
Very interesting.
Got any stories?
Yeah, and because I grew up in England too, so I would go, you know, the way my parents had it was we were born in the States, me and my sister, and we moved back to England when we were very young, you know, 3 and 4. And we would go back every year, every summer, and we'd spend, you know, 2 months every summer with my dad, and then we'd be with him every other Christmas. So there was a lot of traveling growing up. But as you can imagine, the differences between England and America in so many ways are just huge, and they still are, you know, cultural and with just everyday life really is very different. But as a kid, you know, being exposed to one life, which England is a really cool place, but I found that it was just very different. Let's just put it that way. When I come out to the States and I would be in my dad's home, the Laguna Beach house, and being around all of this stuff, I always felt very calm and very at peace. And I, for some reason, never questioned anything. I never thought anything was weird. I never thought anything was not true or didn't work, or because I saw some crazy things growing up. But it, for some reason, it never really affected me. But I knew I couldn't tell people about it because they wouldn't understand. And as a kid, what kind of like thought process would you have to even think that way? I mean, here's a young kid who's seeing things they don't really understand, and they're fine with it. They don't care. But they know that they can't tell people about it because they won't understand. How does a kid like make that? Do you know what I mean? How I don't know, but I did. And I also wore the Receptor when I was a kid, but I only wore it when I was at my dad's, and I always felt great. And I took it, we take it back to my mum's house, and my mum, don't get me wrong, my mum supports my father's technology, and she's worn a Receptor for 30 years. She still wears one, she sleeps under a bed pyramid. So that's fine. But everybody else, oh, what does your dad do? I didn't know what to say. I didn't know where to start, because if I said anything, people would laugh at me or think I was crazy. So I didn't say anything. And for the longest time, I didn't say anything. It wasn't until I was getting into my teens where I started realizing just how cool it was what my dad was doing. And I knew that I felt better when I had a Receptor on than when I didn't. And that for me was fact by that point. You know, when I was like 15, 16, I was like, this thing does something. I don't understand what it does, but I know it works. So I'm going to wear it. And for the longest time, I just wouldn't tell people what it did, or because I didn't really understand the technology myself. So to be able to explain it and where it came from, not only would I sound crazy, and at that point, I really cared about what other people thought about me. You know, I'm a teenager. I don't want to get bullied, etc. And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't really understand it. So I would watch, you know, as a kid, I would watch my father doing laser light shows and meditations and all this stuff. He's living in a beach house. He'd be opening up vortexes using his systems. We have a lot of stuff on photograph on with pictures of it, which we will actually be posting. We're building a new website currently. We will be posting a lot of this stuff, a lot of stuff that people haven't seen before. And my dad would say all these things, but to me, it was just normal. It was just normal. My dad's doing his thing. Me and my sister would be downstairs playing with our toys. It's not like we wanted to be involved in it, but it was a way of life. It was never a big deal for us. It was just my dad was doing that, and this is what we were doing. It was considered normal, I guess, which to most people, it probably doesn't sound very normal, but we were very happy. And it was amazing what I saw growing up, and I didn't once think that it was weird. So
was there? I mean, what I'm sort of imagining is that did I mean, if I was, you know, I don't know, if I was Fred Bell, I'd probably do a lot of stuff at work, but maybe I might bring some home and like make something that kind of exploded in the back garden. These are the kind of things I'm thinking about, you know, like was there anything, you know, did he ever do anything like, hey kids, look at this, and he plugs this in and something kind of explodes and flashes and does something spectacular? Was there anything like that, or was that all he did all that stuff at work, he didn't bother at home?
I remember, honestly, not that I remember, but I know that my dad wouldn't do anything dangerous when we were there. So I know that when we would be there in the summer and stuff, I'd hear him on the phone and stuff. He's like, oh, I've got my kids here for the summer, so I'm trying to spend time with them. So I know he wasn't working as much when we were there because he wanted to be with us and spend time with us, even though he had his commitments and stuff. And as a kid, we found it very frustrating because he would be writing his books and he would be dedicated to his work, and I could never really understand it. I understand it now, but before I couldn't. You know, I'm a kid. I've come over. I haven't seen my dad in a year, and I want to spend time with him. And he's so dedicated to his work and what he's doing that it cuts into our time. And he never did anything that would harm us. So I never saw anything like that. Building systems and stuff he would do, and we were there for that too. We helped with a lot of them. And then I actually lived with him in 2009 for about a year, and I was building all the systems then for orders and stuff. So, but the time machine apparently was in the backyard, and we never got involved with anything like that, and he never talked to us about that or anything. So I think he kind of kept us shadowed from protected from things for a long time, at least until maybe we could understand them.
Dad's time machine in the backyard.
He exposed us too much. Yeah. And he could tell and gauge our level of understanding what he was doing. So he would kind of go at that speed, of this kind of intuition really, and what he knew we understood and what we didn't. So to be honest, both my parents, they never tried to make us believe anything or disbelieve anything. They always left us to make up our own minds about everything in life. I mean, everything from what we feel is right and wrong to religion, to other people, to, they left us. They, of course, we were disciplined and very much loved, but we were really left to kind of decide for ourselves what we thought was right, and they would guide us in whatever direction we wanted to go in. So they were very supportive like that.
It's the idea of the time machine in the backyard. That's the sort of stuff that I've been talking about. That I was getting to.
Yeah. Sean was around for a lot of that, actually. So Sean probably would be able to give you more information, because he used to sit with my dad when my dad was doing a lot of this stuff, and he would learn and watch and of course Sean's a lot older than I am, so he was at that age, and I was very, very young when he was doing all of this.
A lot older. Bless your heart.
You know what, I don't mean that, but
no, it's all right, because he's the same age as me, and it's like
mentally,
I think sometimes we end up like a couple of teenagers. Anyway.
Yeah, actually, as you get older, and really starting to feel younger, which is a great thing. It's a really cool thing. I don't ever want to grow up and kind of be, I don't know, like too serious.
Crystallized.
Life's too short. Too short, too serious.
Absolutely. Lots of fun. I try to include lots of comedy in my life, and actually, yes, I need. I try to watch a comedy show once a week at the very least, as a sort of medicine, so that I don't have a have too much of a dour kind of attitude towards everything, because you know how things are when you're watching everybody and what's going on. So. I'm actually looking here, and I remember when I was holding the receptor in my hand, the nuclear receptor. I'm looking at the nuclear receptor, and I'm looking at the pattern of those lines that bisect the little pyramids, and the way that they spiral down to the left, and then if you look, and then you turn your head round, and they spiral down to the right as well. And wow, it's just like you either see it going left or you see it going right, according to how your brain is. Do you know what I'm saying? Like your left brain, if you're looking from your left brain, or looking from the right brain, you'll see the different spirals on this thing.
And Do you have a receptor?
I used to have one, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that was what caught my attention. There's this the spiral that is made by the lines that bisect these little tiny cassegrain or pyramids on the cassegrain. All right, cassegrain is the is like the Fresnel lens of satellite technology, which is essentially you can instead of having a great big dish, you can put the angles of the dish at various levels and have a much shallower dish. You just have the angles set right. Have I got that right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. The technique called the Cassegrain method, which was developed through NASA, it allows a shortening of the focal length of the entire system of that. So it's really actually crazy how it works, because people are like, oh, well, do you have one for the Northern Hemisphere or do you have one for the Southern Hemisphere? Actually, no. It switches just like, you know, when you watch the water in the bath plug turn. When you're on one side of the planet, it will spin one way. And when you're on the other side of the planet, it will actually spin another way. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes, but indeed. Yeah,
sorry?
Yes, indeed. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's just to do with polarity.
So, yeah, well, this is one of the things that I'm currently concerned about, is that the we know where everybody's talking about, oh, yes, we're having a magnetic pole shift and it's wandering around and all this stuff, and then there's magnetic poles. What my concern is the electric pole of our planetary field, and the idea that we may be moving into, you know, we have negative ground, you know, when you have a ground connection, you ground negative of the battery. It could be that the polarity is shifting and that we actually end up with a positive ground, which actually sounds, you know, I'd like to speak on a positive ground. Yeah, that's much better. currently how things are, we're on a negative ground. So, probably it's very likely that this receptor may help to buffer any of those changes in magnetic electrical polarity. Is that anything that sparks anything there?
Yeah, it is. The technology with the receptor is, I mean, it is over your head, but at the same time it isn't. Because my father breaks it down very well so that it can be really understood by anybody. You don't have to have studied quantum physics or know too much about the planet or know too much about anything to understand how it works. You just read and it's crazy. Like the way he talks about how the Cassegrain technology via scalar waves and the parabolic dish and exactly how that transmits. How it activates the gemstone and the filter, that because the receptor isn't actually healing your body is healing itself. It just acts as a filter for everything, so it's really cool. But what's your question again? I'm sorry.
So it's about the way that the polarity of the world may shift electrically, you know, affecting our fields, and whether this would buffer that particular thing. I mean, you know, I'm looking for solutions, Megan, you know, because
yeah.
I think that the world is going through an electrical change as well as everything else. You know, this whole what they call the precession of the equinoxes, mm-hmm. Is because our sun is going up and down in the galactic plane, and when we're in the north, things are negative ground, and when we're in the south, things are positive ground.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just moving from north to south. And mm-hmm. that's the whole masculine to feminine. So so now, you know, we have the feminine in the positive ground. It's all complex. But the idea that the electrical potential around us may shift, wobble, flicker, you know, rapidly change or change from one day to the next. Things like that might happen. So,
it is happening already. It's happening every day, actually. And I'm so sensitive to it that I feel it almost every day. And I don't know what's going on with this moon right now, but the full moon that we have in is just sending out the strangest energy. I was talking to my mum last night about this, and she's saying, well, you know, because of gravity with the water, if we're made from water, so it really affects us with that gravitational pull. But I mean, this I'm noticing has affected me in a way that I've never felt before, this particular shift that we're in right now. And I'm really looking forward to it shifting again or passing, because I don't feel myself at all during this time, and I'm trying to understand exactly what's happening. You know, I'm a student just as everybody else is in this and learning every day, but I feel my body more than anything, and I really listen to myself, and I don't know what's happening right now, but this where it is a very strange energy, a very strange vibration, and lots of people surrounding us are really noticing it. So I'm kind of looking forward to it passing, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. There's a lot of scary things going on in the world right now that we don't know where things are kind of heading. It's a really interesting time of kind of uncertainty. You know, you just have to look to yourself to what you understand and your reality and keep yourself in line and at peace. You know, and try and bring kind of yourself to a point where you're grounded and you're aligned and you're in tune. I've been watching a lot of interesting things recently, actually. So slightly off.
No. What are you keeping your eye on? Because everybody's got their feed sources, you know, where your levels of information are coming in, you know.
I get sent stuff from customers and friends and family all over the world, you know, that I watch and I just kind of take in. And whenever someone watches something, they figure out for themselves how it resonates with them, whether they agree with it or they don't agree with it. They make that their own mind up. They listen to their gut feeling, if you want to call it that, their intuition, and they kind of go from that. And that's what everyone should do, because not one person is right, not one person is wrong. You know, you're everyone's perceptions of reality are different, and everyone's living a different reality as well. So it's one thing that people kind of, they want to be heard all the time and they want to be right all the time, but it's not like that. People need to learn patience. But what I was going to say was, what phone do you have, JP?
Smartphone.
What kind?
It's, hang on, what is this? It's I use my son's Castos. It's an HTC thing, okay. Android.
Okay, so you don't have an iPhone.
No, he has iPhones. I just have his cast-offs.
Well, that's probably a good thing that you don't have an iPhone, but I just got the new iPhone because I had to upgrade. So I'm thinking, okay, one of the easiest and fastest phones to use for convenience-wise is the iPhone. I had the Samsung. That was a very brilliant phone. It's like a small computer. It works very well, but it took too long to do things and it was too complicated, so I just went back to the iPhone. And my boyfriend actually was messing around with this thing, which is called Hey Siri. I just said Hey Siri, and my Siri's just activated.
I can't answer that.
See? Okay.
how damn annoying that would be. Anyway, go on.
That's exactly what I'm going into. And we set it up. And he won't set up his fingerprint activation on his phone, which is understandable, and I probably shouldn't have either, because they're very clever into thinking that they're making things easy and accessible for you, when actually they're just trying to gain more information from you.
Yeah, they're just creeping under your skin.
They have your fingerprints on all of those ones that fingerprint activated. They have all of your information, all of your details, and they also have your fingerprints. Now, this is a very interesting concept that Siri has introduced, because I posted a picture on Facebook today, like an hour ago, of a screenshot that I took yesterday, and it says, I'm gonna have to turn my phone off, because if I keep saying this, then she's gonna start talking to me.
Yeah, so and the other thing, while you're looking for the thing, I was just gonna say, essentially you've got a stenographer that is grassing you up 24/7, because if it's listening out for you, it's recognizing words and what words it might find that might have a list of keywords somewhere stored on the computer. That would be an interesting thing for a hacker to have a look into, and to see if there was any hackers around who would like to look into this thing and see if it's got any little back doors that say, you know, talk home and send, you know,
exactly,
transcripts of every conversation that you've ever had straight into New World Order HQ.
But would you like to know something even more interesting? They admit to that. So the picture I actually posted on Facebook on the Pyradyne page, which is anyone that's listening, it's Pyradyne, and it was posted 50 minutes ago, and it just says, you know, if you have actually opted for the allow Hey Siri, so all you do is you say Hey Siri, and she pops up, she's listening, she says, how can I help you? You don't have to press anything on your phone. I said last night, Hey Siri, are you listening to me all the time? She said, I am. That's posted on, I screenshot that page and I posted it. And I've been doing this with some of the questions I've been answering, because they actually will give you very honest answers. I asked the other day about, here it is. I said, Siri, what is the meaning of life? And she said, a movie. Now, if you were asking Siri about a movie, she will go to Wikipedia, she'll go to the internet, and she'll pull up, here's what I found, and she'll come up with everything on there. If she is giving you able to give you an answer, that's kind of how she does it. She won't just, and when people can pull this up, they can see the picture. She won't just answer with a sentence. She has to actually back up what she's saying. So, unless she's saying, well, I've asked her one time, do you know who I am? And she said, yes, you're Megan, blah, 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 blah. And it came up with my home address in England, all of my email addresses, pictures of me, my phone numbers, loads of personal information just all popped up as soon as I said, who am I? So I screenshot a lot of the stuff. And then I asked, is Apple selling my information? And she said, I'm afraid I can't answer that. And then I said, I've asked her tons of different questions like this because she has to give you an honest answer by law, otherwise they'll be sued. So for me to say, hey, Siri, are you listening to me all the time? And for her to say, I am, means that they have openly had just admitted right there that they are constantly listening to everything that everyone is saying. And remember with the iPhone, you can't take the battery out. So even when it's switched off, it's not actually off. It's still on. So it's really crazy where technology is kind of going.
That's right. They've made them hack-proof.
Mm-hmm. And this matrix that we're living in. Think back to movies that you watched when you were a kid, these futuristic movies where they were talking into their watches or they were talking into these devices that popped up and they activated this and this and suddenly all these crazy things started happening. Well, that doesn't seem so far-fetched anymore because those things actually exist. So it's the order in which things are happening. So I tell people, pay attention to these futuristic movies because chances are in 10, 15 years, that's the way life's going to be because that's already proving to be that way. Already just with films that I've seen in my 28 years that I've been alive, you know, it's very, very interesting, but it's just kind of being aware of things you see and thinking, oh, you know, I'm not going to say that because I sound like I'm crazy. I'm going to sound like a crazy paranoid person who is of everything, you know, I don't whatever, but it's really, really interesting because like Sean was talking on his show, Sean Morton, about that movie Tomorrowland. Don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
But he was talking about the quantum resonator and all of the different devices, and we were saying these devices already exist and they have the exact same names, and they purposely put these in movies so that, one, they are subconsciously getting it into people without them realizing, so that when they do hear it, it doesn't sound, one, so far-fetched to them, and two, if they actually repeat that name, someone will be like, oh, that was in a movie, you sound crazy. But those are actually the names of those devices that actually exist. They're very clever the way they get into your head. You know, we post a lot of this stuff on our page, you know, just kind of little things, bringing awareness to people and that kind of thing. It's pretty cool. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up about the phone because, you know, the whole wallet thing they have in there, they have this app which is mandatory in all of them. You have a wallet application which you can put all of your credit cards into, and now you're using Apple Pay to pay for everything. I mean, what people are willing, the information that people are just so willing to give out is crazy. They won't talk to someone who calls them on the phone and says, hi, I'm calling from blah, 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 blah. They don't feel comfortable giving their information out over the phone, yet they will put it into this device that stores their entire world. It's just insane. I'm only 28, but hey, I think, you know, I recognize and things like that. You know what I'm saying?
You see, you were subjected to all these movies, probably. Let's go and see. And Sean would say, okay, let's watch Blade Runner, shall we? And like 7-year-old Megan, like, oh my God.
Yeah. Pay attention to these things. They're not just movies. They're not just movies. They're opening you up to a whole different thing that, you know, people kind of see further down the line. Like, customers even tell me now, they're like, Megan, what your dad wrote in his book, Rays of Truth, when he wrote that in 98, that his predictions are already happening. They're already coming true. The things he said were going to come true. And this dates back to the 1970s. we're talking about. And I was listening to one of his radio archives the other day. We have them all on our website, Pyrodyne.com, under Frequently Asked Questions. There's a link there to over hundreds of radio archives and shows of my father. And I like to listen to them every day just so I can listen to my dad. But I heard him talking about it then, too, about his predictions. He said the things that I already said 10, 15 years ago were going to happen. They were already happening. They're already happening now. And, I really wish... But at the same time, I'm glad he's not here because he didn't have to endure this. But I wish he was kind of here to see that his work is continuing and will continue, because it's more important now than ever, I believe, and it will be. It's more. We're getting so many young people coming to Pyrodyne looking for something because they're seeing so much illness and so much sickness within their family, within their friends, and their awareness is like. It's unlike the generation before them, and they're reaching out trying to find these things. They don't know how they exist, but they know they exist, and they're going online and researching these things, and they're finding us. And people even say, I've had a dream about this exact device. I've never seen it before, but I knew it existed, and then I just found it. Like, we have the craziest stories that come to us from people who have been looking for something, and then they find us, and it's just. It's really cool. I feel so honored and blessed to be able to continue my father's work. It's my dream. It is my, if anyone said to me, are you happy in life? Are you living a dream? I wouldn't change anything. There isn't an amount of money in the world that would stop me or could stop me from doing this. This is my dream. I love it. It's the coolest thing. Anyway, sorry, I went off on a rant there.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Meanwhile, you understand that the name of this radio station is Wolf Spirit Radio, yes?
Is it?
Yeah, it's called Wolf Spirit Radio. And you may not be aware, but it was created by myself with various others, including Dave Corso, who was one of the Project Talent MK Ultra super soldiers. He was 70s. He's in his 70s. And he died last year, but we worked the station. And the week after he died, I have a guest, and she's all like, we're going to channel some Pleiadians, okay? And so we're going to do that. Fine. And I was fine. I was going to have a Pleiadian show. Anyway, so she comes on the show. She's never, she's had no contact with anybody else from the station. And we're all reeling from Dave's death. And she says, there's this guy, he's been bugging me all week. I said, what, a person? And he said, no, from the other side. I said, yeah. And he says his name's Dave. And I'm like, oh my. And what we discover is that she's channeling Dave Corso, who has passed away. And she doesn't know him. And she was using terminology and phraseology that we were all like gaping. I mean, if you can gape at each other on the internet, like through a chat room, that's what we were doing. It was like mouth open, what the thing is going on? So, to that note. So we're very close to the people who have passed away. Let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. We bridge that here. We're like, Dave used to talk about the Rainbow Bridge. He used to see, he used to keep wolves, you see, and this is part of it, is that a lot of the times, because wolves are, they don't live that long, and he would always get, like, rescued ones, and so... he'd often lose them and they'd die, and it was that really deeply touched him. And but he would always, psychically see, because he was, had these psychic trainings with the talent, and he would psychically see them, sort of crossing the Rainbow Bridge and all of this stuff. So I wouldn't feel so abandoned about it, let's just say. Yeah.
I sense my father around all the time. I mean, all the time. You know, I feel like I'm being constantly corrected as well, which is a good thing when I feel like I may have.
He's micromanaging you from the other side, is he? Yeah, Dave was a bit like that at first.
He kind of corrects me almost immediately, which is a really good thing. So it keeps me, you know, on sharp. So if I feel like, oh shoot, I shouldn't have said that, or probably shouldn't have done that, which really doesn't happen, but sometimes, you know, it happens. So you kind of can correct it almost immediately and rectify it, you know, whatever it would have been. So at least you can bring this peace to yourself, to, you know, which is really the most important thing. The worst lie you can tell is the one to yourself. So inner peace is a beautiful gift that I wish everybody could feel. Maybe someday everyone will.
Well, beautiful. This is the idea of what these devices can enable us to do, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It is the search for the stable center in the chaos that we appear to be slugging our lives, you know, our lives through. That it could be a bit like that element that they put at the front of these fast submarines, that it has a radiant quality that repels water, repels everything. So it's just like a tiny bit of it right at the beginning cuts through the water very, very quickly. So you can have a supersonic submarine. Mm-hmm. Your the receptors and things like that can be a way of, rather than cutting or slashing or macheting your way through life, but just easing the molecules of life apart so that you can pass between them.
Yeah, exactly. The receptor is designed to be, you know, a nice subtle vibration, although some people report for it to be not very subtle. You know, some people experience very extreme symptoms as soon as they start wearing it. But for the most part, like I said, the receptor it doesn't do anything to the body. The body actually does it itself. Because we, you know, our bodies are designed to heal themselves. You cut yourself, what happens? Your skin heals up. The speed of it depends upon your health. So when it comes to illnesses and severe illnesses such as cancer and things like that, the body should heal itself, right? But it can't, because we are so bombarded with every type of frequency that's out there that passes through buildings, passes through everything, passes through our electrical system, and it slows us down. And it makes us weak, and it makes us not function properly. All the chemicals we put in our body that we show with muscle testing, with glues, foods, friggin' ramen noodles, whatever it is, you do a test and you can see how weak that makes your body. Well, if your body is constantly being weak, it can't heal itself. It can't function to 100% of its capability. There's no way it can do it. And it will take double, if not triple, the amount of time to heal even the smallest cold. They start coming out with the stupid flu shot or something like that, you know, that they're saying, oh, this does this or this. Take a pill for this and take another pill for the side effects of this. And they want the easy way, you know, people want to, it's crazy. This planet, like the way everything is going is just, it's insane. But anyway, the body is kind of functioning at like 65% or so, not even probably of its capability. And it's no wonder we feel tired and sluggish all the time, because we're constantly being hit and bombarded with stress. Is of course the biggest killer as one of them. And then it's our diet, then it's what we put in our bodies. All of these things are slowing us down and slowing us down and slowing us down and preventing us and preventing us. And you know what's craziest thing about it is that we know better. We know so much better, but we ignore it. We ignore that voice that says, probably shouldn't eat that, probably shouldn't smoke that, probably shouldn't drink that. But we do it anyway. We give in to our pleasure. We can say, what the hell, whatever, and we do it. So it's our own fault. We can change it if we want to, but most people kind of decide not to. And not most, actually. There are a lot of very aware people out there who are getting, it is a discipline, but life is a discipline, isn't it? Everything in life is a constant discipline, and it is. But the more you do it, the less of a discipline it is, and the more peace it brings. It's kind of what I've learned, at least. You know, the peace and the patience that come along with it really leaves you kind of unaffected to so much that before you may have rattled your bones very slightly. that or got you riled up or angry, but now no longer do, because you have that peace and that discipline within yourself that anybody can teach themselves. Nobody is better than anybody else. Nobody is more special than anybody else, and everyone has the same capabilities. It just comes down to choice and self-belief, really.
Great. So, listen, we're at the top of the hour. We've done 1 hour already. Could you believe that?
Wow.
You've been using your dad's time machine again. You've been dilating those hours. Anyway, listen, we're going to be... by the way, everybody, I'm playing tracks by Sean Ann Fuse, and she's fantastic. I just love her voice. So this is... Has anybody out there care anyway, or something like that? But anyway, does anybody? This is by Sean Ann Fuse.
Of a story I heard on the news. A boy in the eighth grade brought a gun to school today. How can we make this change?
about.
All right. Okay, we're back online, and welcome back. So that's Sean and Fuse, and this is gorgeous. We'll play maybe a couple more later. Actually, what I want to do after my show, I want to play... I'm going to blow my own trumpet. Jesus, I've got my own radio station. I'm going to play it. It's the full long version of my theme tune, which I called Seven Steps to Heaven. It's that one with the Eastern sounds and things like that. But anyway, I've got a long version of all the other bits in it. I'm going to play that between my show and Frank's show. Thanks very much, Sean, and they are fantastic, fantastic songs and beautifully sung. So, who knows? Let's see what happens in the future. Thank you very much. So, I'm speaking with Megan Bell of Pyridine. Now, like I was saying, it's a kind of there is a corporation that is referred to in every sci-fi film. And they're really talking about DynCorp, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest corporation you've never heard of, and they're the ones who do all the space stuff. And you know, the what do they call it? Weird science and freaking magic. Yeah, that sort of stuff. And they're the big corporation that is always featured in these programs about this sort of thing. You know, see something about Area 51, and they're the people that make the equipment that goes in the building, isn't it? Anyway, so Pyridine is like a combination of pyramid and paradigm, and so it's a new paradigm with pyramid technologies. Do you also do the lot? I remember one thing you had. I think it was one of yours, or one of Pyridine's, which was a Star of David shaped two tetrahedrons erect about 6 feet high as a sort of like a pyramid, but like it's like, you know, six sided.
The star orb? Talking about the star orb.
The star orb, is it? It's like a big thing you can sit inside, yeah?
Yeah, there's a few of them that you can have inside. There's a one that looks kind of like a big star. I think that's someone.
Yeah, I think that's one I'm talking about. Do they come in white as well?
White.
I remember it was paint. It might have been painted white, but anyway, maybe that was this end. So yeah, go. So you got the star
orb. Yeah, and then there's a one which is bigger than that, which is for apartment complexes and really large buildings, which is called the Deva Star. It's a constellation of pyramids put together. And then he designed it with this wire that runs through, crosses over in the middle, and then it has a grounding wire, which you ground out. And then you hang it in the highest point of your house, your home, or office, and it kind of removes stray energies. Now, I actually have one here in my office, and I'm downstairs, but it's a small one. So we sell these, the mini pyramids, the mini pyridomes. They're maybe probably 2.5 inches in length all the way around. So I have a miniature star orb, which as soon as I put that up and I grounded that out, the negative energy that was in my house immediately removed itself permanently. I'm referring to a situation that was that had been happening here for months, for a very long time. And as soon as I put that up, it disappeared. Almost as though it never happened again. So it was pretty cool the way the technology works. Those ones are actually very popular. The Star Orb is one of the most popular orbs that we sell. And we ship all over the world.
All over the world.
Canada, yeah, we shipped to went to Austria the other day, and two to Canada. So they're really cool. They're really cool.
And these are made of, so it's like a... So do you sell, like, so for instance, a bed pyramid? Mm-hmm. What's the base length on that? And that's a Cheops 51 degree, yeah? 52 degree.
52, yeah. The bed pyramid is made from steel, and it has a 24-karat gold orgone capstone on the top of it. So you don't really need to align it to the north. So it's really cool. That is 9 feet in length, and it's about 6 foot three in height, and that will fit up to a king size. We only have one size right now that people can use for anything from meditation to sleeping. We have had actually a lot of businesses recently setting up these different healing entities, and they've been ordering every single product that we have, including the projectors, including the bed pyramids, including all of the headgear pyramids, and using them on customers and having great results. The bed pyramid, we've had, I don't know if they're listening actually, Kaylin and Jonathan, they gave birth to baby Ava inside one of the bed pyramids, joining me and my sister. I think is some of the only people who have been born at home underneath the bed pyramid, which is really cool. But yeah, I've got one up above my bed, and it's made a dramatic difference in mine and, you know, my partner's sleeping. We sleep very, very, very well. Like almost instantly out as soon as I lay down on the bed. Like it relaxes you so much. But one of my customers in England has one, and he's been doing his own testing, which is really cool. He's been taking a radiation meter, and he has a receptor too, and he has the headgear pyramid. He's done on the Isle of Wight, and he for a long time has been testing the amounts of radiation that are coming out of different things. And he noticed in England and on the Isle of Wight that they were putting up these new solar streetlights, and the amount of radiation that was coming off of them was tremendous. He's like, it's almost six times what it was before these new lights. And he said, I can't sleep, I can't, like it really affects him. He's very sensitive to these frequencies, as a lot of people actually are. So he's been doing a lot of testing. Now, I can't remember how he met my mother, but he's a good friend of my mother's. My mother showed him the technology, and he was like, cool. So he lent my mum's bed pyramid and started sleeping underneath it, and he could sleep again. He's like, I can't believe it. I actually get into bed and I fall asleep. And he couldn't sleep at all before. So he bought one from us, and he's been conducting his own tests. He also got a receptor, and he says he could not live without these things now because they've changed his life so much. And he takes a radiation meter and holds it against something that is putting out a lot of radiation, and, you know, uses it to read it. Then he places the radiation meter inside the bed pyramid, and the meter drops down to a .0001, so it drops down to almost basically nothing as soon as it's placed inside of this pyramid. And that goes the same with all of the smaller pyramids too. When you do the same testing, there's videos on YouTube, people kind of conduct their own tests and stuff, which is really cool. And then he was doing it with the receptor, so he was putting something up that had a high amount of radiation coming from it. Microwaves are a really good one because they have a lot of radiation coming from them, and then place the receptor in front of it, just in front of the radiation meter, and again watch the radiation drop right down again. So we got to thinking, okay, it's about time that we made some more videos too, right? All of our customers are doing these experiments, so we're actually making a series of videos very soon demonstrating these things. Also, we're going to use dowsing rods. You know what dowsing rods are? I'm sure you do, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so dowsing rods are really cool. For anybody that doesn't know what dowsing rods are, they're just copper sticks. That's it. You can make them out of wire hangers as well. So there's nothing special to them. They've been around since the 12th century, used originally to find water, douse for water and copper piping and that kind of stuff. But they're really cool because dowsing rods sense energy, and they move towards it and with it and find things and all that kind of stuff. So it's cool. So you hold them up in front of you, and for some people it can take a little while to adjust to get used to using them because they kind of go all over the place. When you get in control of them, they just kind of calm down and face forward. But when you walk up to someone's auric field, which is usually about 18 inches in front of you, they will open up. And then when you step back, they'll close again. And you walk toward the person again, they'll open again. And this way we can kind of measure where everyone's auric field is. Same with everyone. But it's really cool. Sean actually showed me that. And he said, you know, your dad used to use this for testing and on shows and whatever. So we started using them at the shows. And we put the receptor on. And your auric field expands back like 10 feet, 12 feet. And then Sean showed me this. He was like, try it with the projector. you put the projector on and it would go clear out of the room. You couldn't measure it at that point. It was like 15, 20 feet, how big it became. It's really, really cool. So yeah, we're going to be doing another video just demonstrating the use of dowsing rods and showing people just how easy it is to do. And anyone can do it. It's not like trickery or anything on our side that we're doing. Like, anyone can do it. It's really cool. So yeah, that's that.
That's a wonderful thing. So, you know, I've been using, I'm just sending you a message there so you can read it. You can respond or not to this message. So, because this is from one of our listeners. So, but, you know, one of the things that I've been experimenting with is, you know, I use dowsing rods. I use also what's called muscle checking, which is like just using my body directly. You know,
can I just say something? Can I just say something?
Yes.
Does this person want me to read this or not? Because I'm going to tell you something that's kind of scary.
You don't have to read out loud, but you can respond in whichever way you like. Go ahead.
Okay, so what she's saying, I have the exact picture of what you just sent me. There is a picture of me doing that, wearing what she's saying. Doing exactly what she's saying. This picture's in my bedroom.
Beautiful.
I don't even know what to say right now.
Well,
that's crazy.
I realized. So you know, I just wanted to give you, a little bit of space to kind of take your breath and get yourself centered again. Because that, you know, like I said, we are Wolf Spirit Radio, and the spirit is very strong sometimes. You know, and especially on the Sundays, because you know this is the alternative Sunday service, as I call it, and you know, we do try to build up a kind of spiritual morphogenic field with the listeners, and by the time we get to the next show, we actually use the field that has built up to send healing to people. So if you do know anybody who's got any health challenges, and
that's amazing. She go ahead. Just so she knows, I have a picture holding my father's hand, and I'm skipping, and I've turned around to the camera, so it's like a mid-action shot, and I'm wearing a white dress with pink on the edges of the sleeves and on the edges of the dress, and it has pink butterflies all over it, and that picture is in my room next to my bed. that's crazy. No one's ever seen that picture. Like, that's crazy.
Well, that's, so you know, this is one of the things that happens on Wolf Spirit Radio. It's a real, you know, we're really you know, prepared for the multidimensionality of ourselves. You know, I'm fully prepared to find one of my parallel dimensional selves come up in the chat room one day. You know.
Yeah.
Because apparently, according to some medium, they're looking for me. Like, there's a whole bunch of me who are parallel dimensional investigators, and they're all kind of teaming up to see if they can find the rest of me. That's just weird. Weird. So you see, that's why I'm so interested in time travel and all of this stuff and parallel dimensions and stuff like that.
Well, I've actually been having some experiences with this the beginning of this year that I would love to share.
Please.
Yeah, I've never experienced these things before, but I got told to start wearing the Ankh receptor, which is a receptor that we use, which is one of the quantum devices that my father developed in his last few years when Samyasi actually came back to him in 2009. And he had been developing the technology, and they had only just come out when he passed away. And it is an Ankh receptor with an Ankh on it. And then I was told to put yellow stones into it. This is what, I think it was at the request of my father. Can't remember. But anyway, I started to wear this device, and not only did this, everything in my life shift from where I had been to where I was trying to get to almost immediately. And it brought peace and everything to my life. but I started to have these experiences. And I just Googled this the other day because I wanted to see if anybody else has experienced this or not. Now, what started happening was, the first time it happened, I just got out of the shower and I was drying my hair and I was bent forward drying it. And I lifted my head back up again, took the towel off. And I went somewhere, and I don't know where it was, but I remember, and of course, telepathically, when you're trying to describe a vision or something that you've seen or a place that you've been, words and our language just can't describe they can't describe exactly what's happening. So I'm going to do my best, but from what I can remember, there was a woman there. She was very toned, very fit. She had dark hair. She was in like a crop top or something with shorts. And there was a brown couch and an old box TV, and it was like a computer game, but it wasn't. And it was like, I had just been there. I knew everything there. I knew them. And then I came back again. I don't know how long it lasted, but I was, deep breathing when I came back in. I couldn't breathe. I was holding onto the side of the cabinet where the sink was, and I was trying to catch my breath, and I was trying to get back in my body. It was the weirdest thing. I didn't understand what was going on. My boyfriend was there, and he's like, what's happening? Anyway, it happened again the next day when I was in the bathroom, and then it kind of continued off and on to happen, these similar experiences. Then it would happen a couple of times when I was laying down on the bed underneath the bed pyramid, and I would go to a place where I knew everyone, I knew everything. One time I was at a party, I knew everyone there, and I could feel myself going, and I couldn't stop it. And I was trying to deep breathe, and then it was gone, and I was back. And I couldn't feel it. Anyway, it went on for months, and it only ever happened when I was with my boyfriend, with Artif. He was, he's always been with me. And then it started happening in public. We were in Canada, and we were walking along, about to go get on a train, actually. And I saw a guy walking towards me with some headphones on his head, and that triggered it. And then I felt it coming on. I walked to the side and held onto the side of the thing. I was looking out the window. These two buses came up from this underground parking thing. And then that brought it on even more. And I could literally, and I had asked Artif to start timing it. And he was like, well, that was about 10, 15 seconds. And then another time, I think it was the last time it happened, we were with his mum and we were having lunch. And then we had to kind of try and explain to her what had just happened, because it was just the weirdest thing. Now, I've had a lot of people contact me and say what they think, is happening and so on, because for the longest time it would only really happen in the bathroom. And I was thinking, okay, is it because my father supposedly passed away in the bathroom, or is there some kind of relevance to that? I couldn't figure that out. I was trying to figure out why I was seeing these alternate realities, these past lives, or whatever, along these lines. I thought that that's what they were. A good friend of my father, Steve Barish, used to talk on the radio show with him. He was saying, he got his uncle at the same time as me, he was saying he's having the same experiences, and he said you were kind of releasing a lot of stuff from past lives. And to, not be afraid of it, and, it kind of, as it comes, it then releases. And I noticed the shift immediately after it would start happening. My body would shift, so I would shift again, and then something else would happen. So it was kind of like, in a way, a releasing of something. I'm not really sure. But after it started happening, my perception and reality of time really started to shift, and it is still there. It's like, and I know time is a non-existent thing. Time doesn't exist. It's not real. Just not to it's a man-made thing. But to actually take the concept of time and be able to manipulate it in a way where this is very difficult to explain. But as far as manifestation and those types of things, to really be able to get into control of those things. You're never in control. You're never in control of anything. But in a way that you can, it's really hard for me to find the words. Please forgive me. But
so, about habituate to it? To get used to it as a way of being.
To get your mind to adapt and adjust to that. But you start to look and see things very differently, and that is what I'm very grateful for, that I believe these experiences have brought upon me, which is to really see now. You know, there's a very big difference between looking at something and seeing it. And it's happening every second of our present moment, but people miss it because they're asleep, they're not awake, they're aware to these things. But to be able to be given the sight and the ability to see this within people, within other people, to see energies, to feel energies, to it's amazing. And everyone has this ability. Everyone has this ability to just kind of being able to realize it and get to that point where you understand it and you can use it to, in this reality, is going to be of use to you. Right. So that's kind of where I kind of am with it, and just learning and going along and sensing and feeling and trying to help others do the same and realize that they can do the same thing as well. You know, it's not just one person, and then that it is a real thing. But I know everybody's on a different, what's the word? Like moving at a different speed, I guess you could say.
Everybody's on a different frequency. You know, we've actually, you know, on various conversations, but me and the audience, like, have found that, you know, everything is frequency, and you can heal with frequency and you can destroy with frequency. And we've been working with frequency healers who use audio, some use color, so at this point, you're working with devices which can help a healer. For instance, if a healer has a pyramid, right, and they have somebody who's maybe waiting for a treatment, they could get them to sit under the pyramid for 10 minutes before they, you know, while they're waiting. So they could have some kind of pre-treatment, you know. Some kind of environment that actually brings it conducive. Here's the thing about pyramids, right, Megan? One of the things I found about a pyramid is that if you've got one of these head pyramids on your head, you can't actually have a negative thought. It keeps a positive spin on things. So, you know, you talk about the guy who walks around London with a head pyramid. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, he's listening. Hi, Dominic.
Well done, yeah. Manny. Well done. Because basically, if you wear a head pyramid, you don't give a monkeys, because you can't have a negative thought, therefore you can't, you don't care about these things, which are negative, you know. So it's all very self feedback mechanisms. But, you know, I would also say, you know, if you have pyramids, wear them on your head when you're meditating, or if you're meditating, it puts a vortex in your cortex. That's what I always say.
Yeah, and my dad would say it detoxes the brain. People would say, why do you want to detox the brain? Well, why wouldn't you want to detox your brain? How clogged up is it over the years from everything from smoking to drinking? And I was saying, like, I actually have to keep my body in a certain condition in order to be able to receive, and if I don't, I lose my ability, like, temporarily, until I can get my body back into a clean condition again. So I don't drink anymore. I don't do a lot of things that I used to do, because I eat the way I used to eat, for many reasons, of course, mainly number one being health, but because it takes away my ability to do these things. So to clear out your body and keep it clean, and where your receptor, and what I find without my receptor, I'm fogged again. Almost immediately I'm fogged. My boyfriend just sent his back in to be plated, and I sent it to my jeweler to plate it next day, because the plating wears, you know, over 6 months or so, because you're wearing jewelry. It's still jewelry at the end of the day, but you're wearing it every day on your skin. All the oils and the salts from your skin kind of wear it away. So we went in to send it in to be replated. And he's noticing a huge difference for that. He's really not liking it at all. He's like, Megan, I just don't feel myself. I feel clouded. I feel like it really opens your body back up to being sensitive to things, so that you can receive and you can understand. And when you take it away is when you notice. So it's like when you stop doing something is when you notice the difference. So when you take your receptor off and you're going a day or two without wearing it, even a day for me, you notice everything, like you feel everything. I'm so sensitive to frequencies and smog and even people's energy. I can't be around, we don't do so many things I used to do, because I can't be around people like this. Like, I can't do it. I feel their heavy energy. I can feel it, and I feel the toxic energy, and I just can't be around it anymore. And it's crazy because I'm the polar opposite pretty much of how I used to live my life. Like, I'm very, very different now. I'm a very peaceful kind of, I'm an Aries too, so I'm like, I'm pretty fiery, I would say, and I'm a pretty impulsive person, but I'm like 360 from how and who I used to be. And I'm writing a book right now. I'm really following the changes and everything, and just throwing it all out there, the truth about so many things, you know, including my father's death, and, you know, my nephew passed away at the same time, and what happened behind his death, what really happened, the people involved. And I'm kind of letting people make up their own mind about that, about, you know, what really happened, but I'm just laying out the facts and leaving it. So I'm not making any accusations. I am changing the names of some of the people that are in it, but yeah. And if I don't keep my body in this clean, kind of this cleaner condition, then I too can't do these things. So it's now a commitment I made to myself, and a priority to help others and to help people do the same, you know, that when they're ready.
Indeed.
And she's fit.
I'm sorry?
I said, and lose weight at the same time.
And lose weight. Yeah, you see, well, I mean, I've been, like I said, I've been eliminating yeast from my body, and I discovered that that's what was fogging my head, is that, you know, and it's taken me months to kind of detox from it, and, you know, I've had various guests on who have, like, been talking about the process of getting rid of this thing. It's not so easy, because when you kill it, or when it, you know, when it shrinks, it leaves gravel behind, like coral, and your body has to eliminate that, and that's what causes all these short circuits in the brain matter. So as I've been kind of dealing with all that, my mind is much clearer than it used to be, and I can handle things. And I haven't been able to work with electronics for a long time, and now I'm able to understand how electronic things work in with such clarity. Mm-hmm. That's happened since I've been off the yeast, so it's quite amazing. So that's like, you know, you're saying alcohol. It's alcohol, bread and beer, essentially, is where it starts.
It's horrible. My gosh, it tastes so good. It tastes so good. Bread is probably my biggest weaknesses. Except it's not really a weakness anymore. I don't find it tempting these days. But I used to, bread and butter when it will come to the table. Oh my gosh, forget it. It was all over. It was over. But it is. It does the same thing to your brain that cocaine does.
Yeah,
and that's what sugar does to your brain. It's legal. It's nuts.
It's crazy. It's not. It's more than legal. It's compulsory, and that's, you know.
Apparently, yeah.
I call it an ancient nanotechnology, you know, because it's it was given to us by an extraterrestrial who called himself Ra, who said, "Hey, our kids have some of this," and they'll go, "This is nice. Oh, and I like this liquid. How do we do this?" Yeah, you just stick this in there and take that over there, and, you know, add some sugar. And that was the beginning of humanity's downfall. You know, it's like, yeah, bread and beer from Ra. And, you know, everywhere has its bread and its beer and its football team and its national pride and its sausages, and, you know, it all started there.
I'm very happy with that. People are, you know, I believe, you know, people go, they look for that release in life, right? They look for those things that are hard, a week of work, and they get to the weekend or whenever their days off are, and they want to relax and do the things that they enjoy. That's what there is to go and enjoy, or what they think there is to go and enjoy, what they do like. And, you know, very much what me and my friends used to do when I lived in England more than anything. And when I first moved out here, you know, the shift was slow but progressive for me within that. But yeah, it's just what you think you go and do, right? Suddenly I'm finding myself going to Sedona on the weekends and hiking in the hills. And, you know, me and my boyfriend just went for an amazing hike yesterday at Echo Canyon in Scottsdale in Phoenix. And it, I tell you what, is unbelievably beautiful. Like, beautiful. These big red rocks, and you're climbing like a few thousand feet up. It's like, I don't know, is it feet or meter? I don't know what it's measured in, but it's the, some of the highest points that they have in Phoenix, these mountains that you can hike up them. And the views are just insane, but something about being there and being close is just brings this amazing peace. And he's 29, I'm 28. And we love it. That's what we love to do in our spare time. We want to hike, or we want to read, or we want to do these nice things. Instead of, we don't go out drinking, we don't go to bars, we don't go and do anything. We used to. We don't do that anymore. And I stopped doing that even before I met him. I just didn't want to be around these people. I didn't want to be around those environments, because it's like, okay, you see a drunk person behaving and doing all these crazy things that they would never do when they were sober. Why is that socially okay? Why is that acceptable? Why is that all considered normal? Why? I don't get it. I don't.
You know, it's government approved.
Apparently, yeah. But I'm asking these questions now that it never fathomed me to even ask about the normalities of things that were so normal in our everyday life, because everyone does it. But why does that make it something so odd normal? You know, we don't stop and ask these questions. We just kind of get on with it. So it's a weird concept.
Well, really. It's what we call the awakening. I mean, you've been through an awakening. That's exactly the process that I've spoken to hundreds of people now. Mm-hmm. On, you know, I have a show on Mondays, just after Sean's, and it's called Journeys, and it's about this journey from being, you know, an unhappy human to a superhuman, all because of some terrible thing that happens, usually.
Yeah, why does it take a bad experience? Yeah, I'm aware, and I help teach people to become awakened to and all of that. That's the term, I guess, that's used, but, that's in there, I guess that's kind of what it is. You say some people are asleep or, you know, whatever it is, but why does it take a negative or bad experience in people's lives? This is another question I've been trying to figure out the answer to for a while, in order for people to make that change. Why does it take something so negative or something so bad to happen in someone's life for them to reach that point where they have to, or they have no other choice, or they look at life so differently? Like, what? Why? You know,
this is one of the kind of levels of thinking of what my show is about, is to try to get to the point of view of the soul looking down on the personality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so your higher self, if you were to imagine your higher self looking down at you, you know, and you're out dancing and you're a teenager and you're out dancing and you're drinking and all that, and it's going, oh no, yeah, and then, you know, and then things happen that your priorities have to change, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, you know, you're thrust with a vast amount of responsibility. Oh look, your dad's just left you this company. Oh, you know, but I wanted to go and have fun and travel the world. No, your dad's left you this company.
We've been lost, may I just say, because it was technically lost, but we weren't, and I'll get into that in my book and everything. I just want people to know that it wasn't like it was just handed to me, because it wasn't at all.
Right, so you had to dig and get it.
Had to fight for to be able to do this again, mm-hmm. and to be able to take control of all my father's work and everything. I just want people to know that this was something that didn't come easy and hasn't come easy, you know.
So you were handed a challenge, essentially, which you've stepped up to.
Very much so, yeah.
A Promethean challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Promethean. Love that word. Very good word.
Because essentially, you have to reach into the fire, pull out the hot coals, and give them to people. So, on the other side of these things, have you had to deal with strange phone calls in the middle of the night? Don't sell that stuff. Or, you know, weird, you know, people walking past you, talking about you and stuff like that. Do you get any of that CIA type weirdness, or, you know?
No, I have never had that, and touch wood, I never get that. But I like to keep my reality of what I will allow and in my life. I'm very, very precise about that. What I will and will not allow into my life, and that is one of the strongest key points, because for the longest time I was so lost and I allowed everything in my life and it really tore me up and I didn't even realize. I didn't even notice what I was doing or the people I was around or what I allowed in my reality. And now I am very, very specific about what is okay and what is not okay and what I will not allow and not put up with within my life. And I'm very, very specific. Almost every day I'm very specific in these things. So luckily, so far, no, I don't deal with that. I have not encountered that. I don't deal with negativity because I do not allow negativity into my reality. So that's one thing that I have learned so far to be able to do, and kind of show people how they can do that too, because you can definitely do it. It's a real thing I've come to realize, and it's a beautiful thing because there's no way in hell that I want to experience people like that, because I don't deal with negativity very well anyway. I'm a very sensitive person, and I'm even more sensitive now. I don't have it in my life, so as soon as I encounter something, I feel it immediately or as it is approaching, and avoid it and squash it so it's non-existent. I don't want to have that into my reality, and I just don't allow it.
So that's interesting. So as this subject comes up, we have a question from the chat room. So because she is delving into her father's death, does she feel her life is in danger? I think you just answered the question is no, you don't, because you're... I was talking with Cliff. Do you know who Cliff High is?
I don't know.
All right, a very, very well thought guy, and we were talking about it. He was talking about putting best chi forward as an aikidoga, or aikidoka. Basically, you're pushing yourself forward rather than being reactive and responsive to the world. And is that the sort of where you're working it? You're kind of pushing forward, much like, essentially like I was describing the what the receptor does. You're probably doing that on a more general level.
Yeah. But I've also learned many other realities and abilities to do things. But to answer his question, or her question, his question, I'm not sure, but
it's Dolly. Yeah, her.
My father would, people would ask him that, would you not fear for your life because you're exposing these things? And my dad would say, no, I don't fear for my life. And the truth being is that my dad was here for a reason. He had a mission to fulfill and to complete. That was my dad's purpose for being here. And he was scrutinized and still is scrutinized by people in the public who don't understand him. And that's just fine because they're not ready yet. That's not their reality right now. They're not ready to comprehend that. And that's perfectly okay. They have to learn not to judge people. But continuing on with the point, that never deterred him and that never stopped him. And if somebody is going to try and harm me, they're going to do it anyway. And that won't stop me from doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to live in fear, because so many people do. What a waste of life. That's not why we're here. I finally understand my purpose and why I came to this planet or back to this planet, because I don't know if I've been here before. But now I'm finally actually understanding why I'm here, and I'm not going to live in fear, the fear of death, because death is just the end of this reality in this physical body, and that's what death is. So I don't fear those things. It can creep up on you sometimes to think, well, what if? But that's the problem. That's why we live in fear, because you have to get in control of those thoughts and within the mind, and you don't allow it to be your own reality. Now, I've been told by people to watch what I say, and I've been told by people to be careful when discussing my father's death and certain things like that. And I am, mainly because I don't need to tell the world about everything, even though I am writing my book. And like I said, I'm kind of uncovering what needs to be and allowing everyone to make their own mind up about that. So, I read some crazy comments. I was watching a video on YouTube earlier of some guy written something about my dad, and he's like, he probably never died, blah, 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 all this stuff. Like, I read stuff like this all the time. And it's so ignorant of people to take a comment on the internet And to write something like that, I mean, it's just, it astounds me. It truly astounds me, the judgments that people come to and they make or they assume, like, this is a real person. This is actually somebody's life that this person is. So, and only when I go looking for things or I think, okay, then I see. But I don't go looking for those things, so I don't allow them to be into my reality. And whether I should or I shouldn't be in fear of being harmed is, people may answer differently to that, to that. Something may happen, something may not happen, but I know my purpose and I know I need to fulfill my purpose, and that's why I'm here, and I will do that regardless.
So, best chi forward, my dear, best chi forward. maybe we should have new, you know, add this to the station motto, you know. But it's been very exciting having you tonight, Megan. Like I say, you know, I build pyramids myself. I've been interested in pyramids for like since I was a kid. You know, I think seeing the pyramid, what is that? You know, I can't remember the first time I saw a pyramid on like telly, because I grew up in the middle of London. You know, so you know, in a city.
Well, yeah.
So it's. You know, you don't see many pyramids in... Well, actually, you do now, because if I were to imagine looking out of my the window of the block of flats, the apartment block that I grew up in, I would probably see the pyramid at the top of Canary Wharf. I remember I did see it in my 1980s flat. Anyhow, which is... Chi, golly, bless your heart. So pyramids were not so much of the London landscape in those days, but now we have a lot more pointy buildings, and as I said, indeed, Canary Wharf, where apparently David Bowie lives at the top. I don't know if that's true. I think he's probably got a time machine portal. There was a Doctor Who where they had this tower block, And the portal was right up in the air. It was like 200 feet from the ground. So they built a tower block to accommodate this time-space portal vortex thing inside the building. And I thought, well, there's a reason why we build tall buildings, isn't there? I wonder how many more are like that. So, were you a Doctor Who fan?
You know what? I actually wasn't. I never really watched it. Lots of people ask me that, but no, I didn't ever watch it. I was too young, I think. I remember it being on TV a few times and stuff, but I didn't really watch it.
Okay. So that's always the note. But you know, interestingly, Sean is a major Doctor Who fan, and that's probably one of the things that, you know, we initially connected on, is like, I haven't found an American so into Doctor Who as he is. So, but he's into everything. He's a real fanboy, isn't he?
Lots of people are, actually, and Mr. Bean, people in the States, they love Mr. Bean.
Really?
Never used to watch. I'm like, really? Like, yeah, Mr. Bean's amazing. I'm thinking, all right, okay.
Well, maybe you should say, well, if you think Mr. Bean is good, try Blackadder. Get your brain. I mean, Rowan Atkinson is such a genius. I mean, he's Mr. Bean and Blackadder are two of his characters, and mm-hmm. they are, you know, chalk and cheese different. Mm-hmm. Different levels of psychology. I mean, Mr. Bean is almost like The Simpsons, you know, in that sort of level of consciousness. Anyhow, so we're coming towards the end of the second hour, and we've got the Healing Show coming up next, which is Frank Jordan and the Earth Mind Think Tank Group, and we're going to do a full blood moon meditation. So everybody, stay tuned if you're going in for that. We're coming up to the full moon. I think it's just after the show ends, or maybe during the second hour. Anyhow, Megan Bell of Pyrodyne, do you want to? Do some trumpet blowing, please.
Well, thank you very much for having me. First of all, it's been fun, and I love coming on and just, you know, talking about what's going on in the world. So thank you so much for for having me. Anyone that wants to contact me, my email address is pyradyne, P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E @hotmail.com. And the website is pyradyne.com. Facebook page is just pyradyne. And yeah, I would, I'd love to hear from you guys, any feedback, and, thank you for taking the time to listen to what I had to say today. And thank you, JP, for having me.
You're very welcome. And, a little, final message through Dolly there, from Fred. So it's great. You know, I think, you know, something that we look at our listener figures and we think, oh, that's a very small physical number, but I think there's a lot of spirits. I think there's a lot of extraterrestrials listen to our shows. I think we're pretty mildly popular on Aldebaran. Very big in the Pleiades. We're very big in the Pleiades, and we have a small Sirian following, I believe.
I believe that too, to be honest. We probably do. Yeah. You never know who's listening.
Because, you know, I'm very sure that my girlfriend and I have a drama that is on various screens watching what's going on. It's such a drama. Anyhow. So, trumpet blowing, website, art website, where can people buy your stuff? How can you, you know, make tomorrow's breakfast and a coffee? You know, how do people enrich your life and do these things?
By just calling me up and having a conversation with me. I love to talk to people. But yeah, if you want to see my art, I have a website. It's artbymeganbell.com, and it's just some of my energy art canvases and jewelry, crystal jewelry that I make, like the little wire wrap things and pretty little pendants, necklaces, bracelets. That's something that I just do, you know, in my spare time, which is always working, but I love that. That's what I love to do. I love to create and be artistic. So I've got that website. And then pyradyne.com is our main website. We are rebuilding a new site right now, which I'm hoping will be finished next week. We're doing a lot of interesting things with the website. It's incorporating a lot of videos and education into the website so that it's not so much for people to kind of go around trying to find stuff. I'll have an education page which will have a lot of stuff available there, radio archives, videos to watch, how to muscle test, how the technology works, and more videos are coming very soon as well. Then there's, of course, the online store where we have all of our products, the nuclear receptor, the balance bracelet is also a really cool product, and of course the headgear pyramids, any information about my father, his lecture CDs we have, and his books that he wrote. So we sell a lot of that kind of stuff too. And then his music CDs. He was also a musician. So we sell some of his albums. We have three of his albums, which are kind of galactic meditation type new age music. It's really, really nice. Some of them, one of them actually has ship sounds recorded on it. I believe it's the Fellowship that has those recorded on there. And then I believe one of them has my stepmom, Frauke, who will be at the New York show next month, hopefully. She's also talking on one of them that helps people get into a really deep, relaxed meditational state. That's that. So you can contact me via the website or just send me an email or just reach out to us on Facebook. We're always active on there too. But I love to talk to people. I love having a one-on-one conversation with as many people as I can. For me, that's a very important thing. We're a family-run business, and I want to keep it that way because it means so much to me, and I value every single person who has an interest in my father's work and in Pyradyne and in myself and in all of it. You know, I love to just converse with people and help the awakening process within them too. So if anyone wants to reach out to me just to talk, I would love it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think I might have used one of his recordings, which was of a Pleiadian ship. Is it one that goes, you know, it's very high.
It's the sound when they're hovering.
All right. Because Sean gave me a couple of ones. He gave me one from Andromedan Craft, which is like, and I mixed them together on a track. I love playing with that sort of stuff, messing about with sound. Anyhow, thank you so much, Megan Bell. It's been a great pleasure to have you on, and good to hear about some of the old stories, some of the new stories, and your new discoveries about what's going on for yourself. So, with that, thank you very much, and we hope to have you back one day.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Good night, everybody, and stay tuned for Frank Jordan. And check out, this is the new version. I don't know what you think. Let me know what you think in the chat room after.